Happy to be here with my old teammate, Mike Vrabel, head coach of the New England Patriots, and we just finished the first day of minicamp. How'd it go, bud?
Not bad.
Were you happy with the energy and the compete level out there?
Yeah, I think it's going good. You know what I mean? You got to get to the red zone, and again, the defense has to take care of the offense. There's no pads. You can't really reroute anybody. So, again, just trying to celebrate touchdowns. It's hard to get down there. And again, you know, when you score, we want the guys to celebrate. But we got first, second, third down in. We had some no huddle. So I think there's a lot in so far. I think that we've thrown a lot at them. And I think that they've responded.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Drake may be at Wimbledon watching some tennis on grass courts, but football season is sneaky right around the corner. We're now officially in the month of Patriots training camp, NFL training camps opening a little over 3 weeks from today. So WEEI Afternoons, Dan Ball, myself, we all talked about it like, you know what? We need to start kind of talking a little more Patriots leading into training camp. So 4 o'clock football every day. Tune in at 4 o'clock, and we're going to talk about some topic related to your New England Patriots, who are now
the darlings
of the NFL. A lot of expectations. A lot of people think they're going to be a good football team.
Yeah. Is there a little positive chatter towards
the Pats? There is positive energy and chatter, and we learned with the Red Sox that means nothing. The bottom can fall out shortly thereafter. But for now, Fitzy, you know what season it is. It's hope season in 32 cities across the National Football League, including right here in New England. So today, the 4 o'clock football question that we are posing, which person, not named Mike Vrabel or Drake May, because we know those guys are the faces of the franchise, the head coach, the quarterback, those are the most important guys in New England. Which person not named Mike Vrabel or Drake May is under the most pressure in 2025? So I will kick things off here with my draft crush, Will Campbell. I think Will Campbell is the simple answer here. It really is. The offensive line has been just an absolute crap show for this team for the last 2+ years. Vidarian Lowe, I feel bad for you, but you were out there and you were terrible. You couldn't line up. You couldn't block. All you did was hold.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I really feel for
him. How many false starts did he have? Because he was so terrified of somebody getting the jump on
him. Isn't that sad? Like, that guy dreamed probably of being an NFL left tackle, and then he got the job, and it's like, I don't want to be a left tackle anymore.
Left tackle's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's like you see them digging in, those edge rushers, and just – they know that you, you're having issues, and they get in your head. Oh, not fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. So now your new left tackle is the number 4 overall pick. It is Will Campbell. He has the grit. He has the resume. He started at LSU, the SEC. We all know the story of why he's here, and we know the one reason why he's still a question mark, because unlike Hugo Gonzalez, his wingspan is not great. It is short. He is a T-Rex left tackle.
He's like a pear-shaped T-Rex.
Yes, and we are going to watch. That is not nice.
That's the best I can
come up with. No, he is
isolate
a far avocado of a T-Rex. You are
there you go.
He is a pear-shaped T-Rex. That is not nice. That is your franchise left tackle. He is the most important person, not named Drake May, on that offense. And we're going to monitor it. When July 23rd, everything. People were monitoring it during OTAs when they don't even have pads on and no one's really pass rushing and blocking.
Yep.
But every move that Will Campbell makes, including, I think, how he answers questions, how Drake May answers questions about him, that whole thing. So, Will Campbell, you want to be a franchise left tackle. You said you wanted to be a Patriot, right? That was part of the story along the way. You decided he wanted to be in New England. Well, careful what you wish for, because there is a lot of expectation and pressure on your broad shoulders. There's a lot of guy with a lot of pressure on their broad shoulders,
man.
Ted Johnson.
I like that. That's a good one.
So, yeah, mine is Will Campbell. Fitzy, you want to go up next?
And one of the problems is, Andy, those shoulders do look broad, but maybe not just broad enough, hence why he got called a pear-shaped T-Rex by the former middle linebacker that dominated the center of the field for your New England Patriots. I would love to see, by the way, since we can do a lot of things with AI now, I would love to see AI Ted Johnson just bull rushing AI Will Campbell. That'd be a hell of a thing to see. How do you think you'd do, Teddy?
I think I'd do all right. The first couple times.
I was going to say, you got one in you. Do you have a second? You got a second rep?
Probably not. The first rep, I bet on me, and then after that, bet on Will.
Well, he put your boy on his ass, Vrabel, right? Down there in that workout, Will Campbell put him on his ass.
And Will looks like he's So he looks like, and you know why? Because he's got heavy hands. And he looks like he's got a hard head and heavy hands. And those that combination in offensive line is very difficult to just really get any kind of physical dominance over.
Right.
Because they're like,
a lot of
they absorb your hits, and they're like, and
I was going to say, like, no disrespect for you, but if you bull rush him, he probably takes that as a victory for him. That doesn't challenge his length and his long arms and the corner.
But it is interesting. I think that's going to be the one move that is going to give him the most problems.
Yeah.
Is when they get up under him. I think his lateral movement is elite.
Yep.
So it's what he's had problems with at LSU is guys when they get up under him and bull rush, that he gets pushed back a little bit. So that's something he's got to be careful for.
Yeah, Andy, there's a guy actually on the Miami Dolphins, a team I think once we get into this kind of stuff as football at 4 o'clock leading to training camp progresses that I think may give him a hard time if he's healthy enough. A guy like with the Jason Taylor-like length of a Jalen Phillips on the Miami Dolphins, he may actually give – that could be a matchup I'm looking forward to seeing as well. Yeah. And I agree with you. I would say probably of all Patriots not named Mike Vrabel or Drake May, that Will Campbell has the most pressure on him. However – coming up number two, and it's mostly because of the payday he received to become a centerpiece addition of the offseason and the defense for your New England Patriots, I'd have to go with Milton Williams because I think he's going to be the linchpin of how this defense goes. Do I believe in him? Does Mike Vrabel obviously have confidence in him? Does Terrell Williams believe that he's going to be the leader on this defense to strike quickly, strike violently, strike aggressively, and strike often? Absolutely. If he dominates and he, alongside hopefully a healthy Christian Barmore, can set the table and set the tempo on the defensive line, hell yes, then that defense is potentially going to be a top 10 defense. But when you go from playing less than 50% of the snaps alongside a future Hall of Famer in waiting like the dominance of Jalen Carter to now having to be the focal point of the defensive line, $26 million per season, those are some lofty expectations you need to live up to. I think he can, but I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on the very broad shoulders of Milton Williams this season. So here's my pick.
And these are sort of the common selections, right? You got the high first round pick, the top five pick faces a lot of expectation, and you got the face of their free agent class, the $100 million guy. And even more so, I agree with you, Fitzy. To me, the biggest thing with Milton Williams is what Vrabel joked about at the press conference. We expect you to play a lot more than you did last year. I hope you're ready for that. You never really know how he reacts to that, right? How his body holds up, how his motor holds up. It's a hell of a lot easier to go 100 miles an hour when you play half the snaps, right?
No doubt.
Now you got to pace yourself.
What a luxury. That kind of highlights how good that roster is when you can have a player like Milton Williams only go 50% of the snaps.
Yep. Yeah, it is. All right, Ted, you're up.
All right. So the most pressure, not named, you know, Drake May and Mike Vrabel, is this person talking about one Drake May.
I mean, he's doing really well. He's very smart, works really hard. I think the quarterback room in general is really, really good in terms of putting the time and effort in at this point in time of the year. You know, and like I said, we either make a good play or we learn from the result. And so sometimes as a coach, and nobody wants to hear this, but sometimes as a coach, the negative results can actually be your best teachers because you have a play where something didn't necessarily go your way or the right way, and then you learn from it, and then the biggest key for us as we go forward.
All right, bud, that's enough. That's Josh McDaniels, obviously. You guys know his voice.
Yeah.
I think the most pressure is on him. If you look at the offensive rankings from last year, points per game, which is, at the end of the day, probably the most important.
Yeah.
How many points do you score?
Scoreboard.
17 points. Guy had them ranked 30th in the NFL in points per game. Yards per game, which to me isn't as important, but they use it as their determination for best defenses is usually yards.
Total offense, total defense, it's yards.
Patriots are 31st. And then the two most important statistics there is for an offense and for defense, and you guys getting to work with me will be so tired of hearing me talk about these two different situations in football, but third down and red zone are very, very important indicators of how well your defense is and offense. Last year, the Patriots offense ranked 30th in third down at 34%, and in the red zone, 47%, and ranked 30th in the NFL. So you can't get much worse than that, but the point is Josh McDaniels is being brought in here to First off, get Drake May to be the franchise quarterback. I think he can be, and a lot of people do, to make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, for an offensive line and wide receiver group, and improving all these stats. So to me, it's not even close. It's Josh McDaniels that has the most pressure other than Drake May and Mike Vrabel for all of those reasons. This offense has been putrid for too long now. We got to see some life signs from it, and hopefully Josh is the guy to get it done.
And you can actually argue, Fitzy, that even though we eliminated Vrabel and Drake May from this discussion,
yep,
Josh could be higher than Drake May because he's kind of the guy responsible for molding and pulling Drake May in the right direction. Yeah, I agree with you. The only thing I will say is he's super qualified. Like, we have these questions about Milton Williams. What's going to happen when he plays 86% of the snaps? Or, you know, Will Campbell, what's going to happen when he faces a long-armed professional pass rusher? I can tell you what happens when Josh McDaniels coaches a quarterback as an offensive coordinator. Save for that one year with Sam Bradford that stunk with the Rams, he's been good at it. If your name was Brady or Castle, speaking of Matt Castle.
Tomorrow, 4:30.
Tomorrow, 4:30.
All right. Great get, Ted.
But whether you're Matt Castle, Jimmy Garoppolo, whoever, Mac Jones, who is now a bust, who is now a journeyman backup quarterback in the NFL, with Josh McDaniels, he was a Pro Bowl playoff quarterback. So
sure
we've seen Josh get the job done, but now he just needs to get the job done one more time to take this team to the next level. So I like that one. Okay, behind the glass, boys, let's go to a Stiz. I'm always interested to get the sort of local super fan perspective of Stiz, the Belichick trusting guy that is Stiz. Who's got the most pressure, Stiz?
I'm going to say Steph Diggs. Oh. I think Steph Diggs has the most pressure on him. He's supposed to be one of our best receivers. He came in. He's what's most likely at the end of his career. And so all eyes are on you. And I think especially after that boat incident, it is time to show and prove, my guy.
But that's how you handle pressure, that tootsie, you know?
Yeah,
you got to get that.
Yeah, a little.
Tootsie.
Yeah, tootsie.
But, yeah, so, you know, tootsie, I think tootsie. The pressure is he starts having some bad games. Oh, yeah. My God. The boat incident will come back. Everything will start bubbling up. The media will be on him. So I think Diggs has a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, I would just quibble with one thing. You said he's supposed to be one of our best. No, he's supposed to be the best.
Yeah, the, yeah.
Without him, it is an absolute wide-open competition for next in line, the whole thing. And the other thing that he has with pressure is just he is coming off an ACL. Like, I know we thought he looked good when we put our eyes on him down at OTAs, but the history of receivers coming off ACLs says they're not really back to their full selves for a little while. But people won't give him that out, I don't think. People want him on the field week one. People want him being targeted, whatever, 8 times with 6 catches for 90 yards in week one.
Yeah.
So
you think he feels pressure? Joe from Saugus, you think he's like, I go to bed with Cardi B every night. I don't. You think I care what Joe from Saugus thinks?
I got $50 million in the bank. I go to bed with Cardi B, and I'm on the red carpet at the Met Gala.
You think he'll be going to bed with Cardi B in September and October?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Women weak in knees, hot. What about if he has like a case of the dropsies early on in the season, isn't in his normal form, and then all of a sudden he finishes third in receptions on the team?
Oh, yeah. That'll be a disaster. And also,
disaster.
By conjunction, that'll screw Drake May. That'll screw Josh
McDaniels.
If he's healthy the
whole year and is third on the team in tackles, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, that will not be good. Yeah. That will not be good. Dan Ball!
Daniel, what do you think, bub?
Go ahead, Fitzy. Go ahead. I want
to
hear.
Well, I was just going to ask one question back to the Drake May Josh McDaniels point. Who's, you know, is it the pedigree of Josh that should alleviate some of the pressure and expectations? Is it the talent of Drake? And does Drake sort of get a mulligan because, like, oh, well, it's that fancy McDaniels offense? So there's less pressure on Drake to understand Josh, more that there is pressure on Josh to elevate and start to bring out the best
of Drake. I think that's fair.
Because it's a very fascinating relationship that could be developing between the two.
I don't know if people are going to give Drake too much of the benefit. They didn't last year. Like, nope. I didn't hear a lot of people kind of like, I made more excuses than most people. You know, I like to think I know football better than most people, but, you know.
Brag.
But most people did not give him a break last year, Fitzy, so why would they give him a break this year?
I don't think he's getting any breaks this year. If anything, I've already heard this whole thing that's been widely spread that if you're a true franchise quarterback, you make the playoffs in your second season.
Year.
Like, Yeah, you know, like there can't be any more pressure than that for him, and to get all the details along the way.
It is kind of amazing that's that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, it's your guy, Parcells. If it doesn't bark as a puppy, it ain't barking, right?
And it's a big dog, right?
Right. So Drake May has a lot of pressure this year. I don't think
very
he's getting.
Apropos. That's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, he's okay when I bring up Parcells quotes. If I bring up Belichick quotes, I get yelled at around.
No wonder, actually, you like Parcells so much. You guys must have just had saying offs when you were talking to each other.
I got most of them from him, though.
Yeah. Okay.
I just think alike.
Was the Red Rocket from him?
Our phone lines are open.
No.
Oh, that's a Texas Red Rocket?
I got stiffer than a cigar store Indian from here, stiffer than a donkey's in March from him. So I got some good ones. But
wait, donkeys
are you digging into that?
That's what I'm told. In March,
into
I guess
the Parcells
donkeys get really,
book
really.
March donkeys are the horniest, apparently.
That's according to Bill Parcells.
Who
yes.
knew?
Yep.
Dan Ball, why don't we get to you now?
Okay. I'm sticking on the offense as well. My answer is Ramondre Stevenson, because I think while the runway was quote unquote cleared for Drake May, I think it was covered a bit more for Stevenson, where now your running back room is a lot more competitive. You have guys that are vying for snaps that it's going to be relatively easy for him to be jumped if he continues to have the issues with the fumbles that he had prior. So he's got a contract extension that he's trying to live up to. You've got an offensive coordinator who you know is going to value the run, and an offense that, as you guys talk about all of the question marks around the passing game, is going to need to have a solid and reliable run game. So I think there's a lot of pressure on him, as there are guys behind him on the depth chart that are kind of trying to kick him out of town for him to show that Love there it. Is that kind of potential that we saw from Love him
it.
In years past.
Love it. It's a great point. I like there needs to be competition in the running back room.
Oh, yeah.
In all the rooms.
There
more,
is.
But there's just something about Ramondre where I feel like he needs to be pushed a little bit. I think it's an excellent point. And I think Travion's going to be the perfect guy to push him.
And
I do.
You know who also, I think is feeling pushed is Ramondre Stevenson. Stevenson. You know, it's a sports cliche. You usually
Slim
get in your best
Ramondre.
Shape when you're worried that your job is on the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
you know, he's a guy that is definitely in better shape this year. Or I'll say different shape, Fitzy. Maybe better isn't fair.
Slim down. Andy, would a best case scenario be for the 2025 Patriots, a team that I still believe is going to lean on the run more than the pass, even if that doesn't sound sexy to the average Pats fan, because it'll be easier for the line that's coming together, easier for Drake, understanding Josh's offense. And I believe this this running back room, can have some real depth this year. The best case scenario could be Travion comes in and has a Garoppolo-like effect, if you will, on Ramondre.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, if you get a motivated, because I still think Ramondre Stevenson is talented. Now, I hope he hasn't been worn down by the tough carries in the last couple of years and mentally by the fumbling issues, but I still think that the guy that I thought was the poor man Saquon Barkley, that could, you know, was big and powerful, but also could break away, catch the ball a little bit.
A little bit. He's not close to being the receiver.
I said a poor man's. I said poor.
You're right.
Poor man's.
I said not even close.
Ocean State job lot version.
I hope that guy is still in there and he still has some of that skill and ability. Can I throw some names out there that I think could have been in consideration that didn't get brought up by our esteemed panel?
Go, Captain.
So we said Purston. I would put Elliot Wolf in there, because if Will Campbell's not great and Milton Williams isn't great and even the guys from last year get cut by Vrabel, I think Elliot Wolf could be a guy that could be run out of town here in New England very quickly. He got year two because he redid the scouting system and Robert liked that and different things. But if the proof isn't in the pudding and they don't take the jump that a lot of us expect to 8, 9, 10 wins, and the roster isn't as good as some people expect it to be, isn't that going to fall on Elliot Wolf? And wouldn't it be easy to run him out of town and then Mike Vrabel and Ryan Cowden and those guys just take full control?
Well, he's the next guy to go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've switched head coaches. The owner's not going anywhere.
Right.
So it makes sense that if they continue to lose like they have last, you know, 2 years, then Elliot Wolf's name will be, you know, front and center for, you know, getting fired.
And if by November Will Campbell is being bumped inside to guard and is no longer a tackle because he couldn't hang and some of those other things, I think some of that could be scapegoated on Elliot Wolf. Even
Maybe.
Though Vrabel is the man, I think Elliot could be scapegoated. Another guy I'll put out there, because I think this guy legitimately faces the highest expectations on the team, and we didn't mention him, is Christian Gonzalez. He's an all-pro cornerback who's expected to now be an even better all-pro cornerback for this team. And we've seen at the cornerback position in the NFL, it ebbs and flows. It feels like a guy is the best in the league for like a year or two, and then somebody passes him up and he has a down year or something happens. But I just think by the nature of the fact, we don't know about May. We don't know about Cam. We know Christian Gonzalez was an all-pro corner. So now do it again and be better. Be Fitzy's defensive player of the year candidate. Be Steph Gilmore from a few years ago. Be the best defensive player for this team and in the league. So I think he's a guy that faces a lot of expectations. 617-779-7937. What'd you think our list of expectations? Do you have names that we should have put on there? Did we do a good job? You can call in and add your voice to the conversation. One of those guys, though, Josh McDaniels, well, NBC Sports Boston ranked the offensive coordinators in the National Football League.
This was interesting.
And I think people will find it interesting where Josh McDaniels ranks on that list of play callers for the Patriots. So we'll talk about that up next. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.